We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Was this the worst thing that could have happened to the Mavericks? And I don't just mean the pair of losses or the loss last night to Phoenix. More specifically, Corey, I know you remember this. We spent an entire segment in intricate detail breaking down the failures in clutch time. And then the Mavericks were like, well, in case you forgot, let's demonstrate it as we're up by 7 points with 45 seconds left. And they lose to the Houston Rockets. Was that game in particular the worst thing that could have happened to them?
I mean, if you think that playing the Clippers in the first round is the worst thing,
and
yes.
I do,
then yes, it is the worst thing. If your goal this entire season was to learn in the playoffs and in playoff settings, then no, because this is what the Mavs, their glaring hole is this. Like, their glaring hole is how their defense acts in these moments. And Kevin, you use the word a lot about like Cal Ripken and stuff. And that is compiler. The Mavs are volume compilers for the first part of the game and then can't close out a game because they don't know how to transition from being what they are. So they need to either make the decision of we're just going to hang around for the first 3.5 quarters and then we're going to close things out the way we would for the first three quarters typically with their speed and they're getting up the court and moving the ball like that. Or when it comes down to the fourth quarter and the end of the game, we're just going to play it like we usually do and we're not going to let anything change just because it's been 5 minutes. But they, Kevin, I don't think it's the worst thing, but at the moment the Mavericks are going to be probably, not mathematically, but they're probably going to be number 7, and they're probably going to go up against the Clippers because Denver's, what, 2 full games behind the Clippers?
Yeah, and I think, Corey, I think we should stop talking about the Clippers because I don't care if we play Utah, Denver, Houston, any team that is in the playoffs besides, like, Memphis, because they're in the same situation we're in. They're a very young team trying to figure out how to play late-game NBA basketball stuff as they blew a lead to Utah to start off their kind of kickoff in the bubble is for me, it's kind of the worst thing because, Corey, I believed after blowing out Denver on that last game and then having time for our young team to almost have a little bit of another offseason and a kind of 3 to 4 week practice time together again, that they would come back better than what we saw. And there's a little bit of rust to knock off here and there. There's some sloppy basketball happening at times. But for me, it was the worst thing because now I believe, which this is, I'll throw it as a positive. We get to play 6 more games and then 4 or 5 more games in the playoffs. So this team does get to play approximately 12 to hopefully maybe even 14 games total in this bubble scenario to try to keep growing and figure out what they need to do, who they kind of are and what they can and can't do. But for me, it demoralized me in it doesn't matter who we play in the playoffs. They're all good teams in the playoffs. The Clippers are, I think, the best, but we can't beat anybody in the playoffs because the playoffs are actually going to be close games. And we can't beat the Washington Wizards in close games. So if we can't beat the Wizards and the Suns in close games, why are we going to beat the Denver Nuggets in close games? Why would we beat the Utah Jazz in a close game? I don't see why we would do that. The Clippers will probably beat us really quickly in the playoffs, but that game demoralized me, and if we were even to get a matchup against another team, I don't see how I can predict them to win playoff games.
Eric Harper said something on the broadcast last night that I was like, no, I do not accept that. Is Luka is like a 74-75% free throw shooter. And Derek Harper was like, yeah, I mean, he's not. He's better than that. And I'm like, no, he's not. What is that based on? Like, why do we have a hard time accepting what people are at this moment? It, like, if you think Luka will become a better three-point shooter, a better free-throw shooter, fair enough. But at this moment, he's not. Right. He's not a great, he's not a terrible free-throw shooter, but he's not a great free-throw shooter, and he's a terrible clutch free-throw shooter. You saw him, you saw Seth Curry, you saw multiple missed free-throws down the stretch that cost us Friday.
I think part of our clutchness, which is destroying us late in games, and we got to see it a couple times here now already, is Luka complains and wants fouls for 46 minutes of the game. And if you watch, go back and watch games this year, go back and watch the games against Houston, this game against Houston and Phoenix, he will stop being as aggressive going to the basket late in the game. And I wonder this. I don't know this. I'm throwing this out as a question because I'm questioning it now. Is it because he desperately wants to avoid the free throw line? Because he doesn't mind going to the free throw line when the score is 62-58 in the second quarter. But does he want to go to the free throw line when it's 115-113 and 17 seconds to go? Or when it's 137-131? Who's inbounding the ball? It's Luka. He's our best passer. I get that. But if he was a good free throw shooter, would we want Luka inbounding the ball when they know that they're going to foul us to go to the free throw line? No, you'd want Luka, get the ball, make your free throws. But that is not an option for the Mavericks because they know that he will not make the free throws at the end of the game. And because Luka, unfortunately, I think he mentally knows that he doesn't want to shoot those free throws. He thinks he's going to miss them. He avoids contact late in the game.
I always thought that he was just trying to put a team away in the moment by shooting those threes. I didn't understand why some of them were just so far away, but I guess he's like, oh, this is my range. But I never put a thought that he was scared yet of getting to the free throw line, but maybe he does have some of the yips, and he's a little timid when it comes to that. But you know what? You know, we keep bringing up Carlisle, or a lot of people keep bringing up Carlisle, who, by the way, has created one of the most efficient offenses in the NBA, which is pretty wild that people are like, get rid of him now. But, you know, he's turned in his second year, Luka, into what he is as a star player. It is on Carlisle to say, okay, we gotta change now. If, you know, in the fourth quarter, you can't do this. Whenever we need a bucket, and if you're not going to do it, you're going to have to find somebody down low that will. And if Porzingis is going to be the guy down low, then we're going to do that. But you got to find a way to get it into the basket because we need points, not miss free throws that are long rebounds and turn into transition for somebody else.
Would you suggest using a player who's been hot all game, even though he's brand new to the team, instead of a player that you think should be your third or fourth option?
Are you talking about?
He's not brand new to the team.
Burke over Curry in that moment.
Late
in the fourth quarter on Friday night. Yeah. No, I didn't feel like, you know, Curry wasn't having a good game. And so then they decided, you know what, but he's our guy. And I was like, all right. And then last night, didn't they go with Hardaway, late in the game? And Hardaway was, what, 1-for-7 from three or something? Or 1-for-11? And they were like, yeah, let's go ahead and let you take that shot. When the Mavericks figured out that Dirk was the guy at late, that's whenever that team really grew into what it was. And at some point, they got to figure out, is it going to be Kristaps or is it going to be Luka? Luka's going to have it in his hands, and he gets to decide whenever he gets double-teamed down on the baseline. So that's what he's going to have to decide is, am I going to be the guy or can Kristaps be the dude whenever it's crunch time for us?
Okay, so a couple things. I want to read this if you're looking for like a dose of positivity. From the 469, they need like 3 or 4 upgrades on defense to be a legit contender. Yes. They're basically the Mavs of the early 2000s, which is not the worst thing.
Not
like,
great.
That was the start of something where you're like, oh, so we're going to be good. Mm-hmm. We're just not where I thought we were or I hoped we were. That's kind of how I feel about this Mavs team. It's like, I think they're going
right,
to be good.
Yes.
They're just not like quite where you want them to be. To help with that process, might I make a friendly suggestion? I know that the 2-point shot in the modern NBA is stupid, but when Luka can get to the basket at will and chomp people out left and right and is struggling from beyond the arc, Can we give him a gentle nudge to attack the basket yes. again and again instead of shooting three-pointers? Because he was destroying people when he was aggressive.
Corey, I can't believe yesterday when they get Booker and Ayton with five fouls early in the third quarter, and this goes to show the youth of the team, it's just going to take time. As much as Luka won a championship in Europe, he's still only 21. He's only played so much basketball in his life. And it's a bunch of young guys on the court with him that don't know a lot about, you know, the experience of the NBA and what to do and when to do. I mean, Derek Harper's begging in the third quarter, just keep going to the basket. What are we doing pretty much without saying it that way? He's like, what are we? But they're young. They don't know. They as much as we want them to know, they don't know yet. And so maybe that's on Carlisle. Maybe that is like, Rick, during your timeout, just say, unless you're wide open, stop shooting three-pointers and go to the basket. They have no shot blocker. They can't stop you guys. They foul a lot. Stop it. But they just don't see it. They saw we got five fouls. Now let's jack up all the threes that we can. And then, you know, Phoenix got back into the game and eventually, you know, took a seven-point lead.
And yeah, Kevin,
Harden had four fouls on him early in the third quarter, too. And I believe one of their other players for Houston did. And so that it was like, why aren't you attacking these guys? How did Harden have four in the third quarter and never drew another foul for the rest of the game and was able to close out in the fourth quarter? It didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and Kevin, can I correct you here? You said that in the NBA, the two-point shot is stupid. No, the mid-range shot is stupid. If you get to the rack,
getting to the basket,
it's actually the best shot that you can have in the game. Like, you see the Warriors, I know that we harp on the threes that they took. They would take threes, but they also very much got to the paint and finished at the rim. So that's something that you'd love to see. But, like, Luka, one thing I've noticed in these past couple games is that when he goes to the rim, even at any point in the game, he's very hesitant. Like,
he'll dish it off, yeah.
And then also, like, he goes to the rim, and you could see him looking for who's going to come get him, right? Like, who's going to come block the shot? Who's around him? And obviously, like, awareness is good. But you need to put your head down sometimes and just attack the rim. Like, there's not that attacking mentality sometimes that I'd like to see from him. And that's where you'd love to see that late in games where he just kind of puts his head down and goes to the rim. And you don't see him do that. I think that that's some of the things that you see him grow into, right? Like, that's one of the reasons why you wanted to. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why you wanted to see them dip their toes into the playoffs. For some reason, the NBA, the way it works is you don't just go and knock down the fortress the first time in. You go, you kind of figure some things out, and then you come back, and then you do some damage. This seems like their dip of their toe into the playoffs.
And I get it. Like, when they gave up the rebound to Robert Covington to tie the game, P.J. Tucker did an unbelievable job of he's holding Kristaps Porzingis' right arm. He hooks it underneath his armpit so Porzingis can't move. So it gives Covington to go around. You know, Kleba did a pathetic job of boxing him out. But, you know, the Houston Rockets, right there, they have two veteran guys who have played a lot of NBA basketball, and they knew how to take advantage of Porzingis and Kleba there. And it shouldn't have got to that situation, but it did. And then it's tied. And then with 3 seconds to go, guys, we've seen with 3 seconds to go what can happen to the Mavericks defensively. With 3 seconds to go, Luke is like, because I don't want anybody to touch me, I'm going to catch the ball, take two dribbles while running out of bounds, and throw a two-handed pass at the basket for our attempt to win the game. And I'm like, there was 3 seconds. It wasn't 1 second. There were 3 seconds. But because he wanted to avoid contact, me personally, he wanted to avoid contact. He's like, I'm not getting close to these people, and I'm going to throw a baseball, or I'm going to throw a two-handed pass from out of bounds and see if that goes in.
Kevin, there's also like, we don't give Dwight Powell all the credit. We give him, like, he's a good leader on the team and everything. But you're missing that cutter, that big cutter underneath that can be around the basket. Mavericks don't have that if they need it. You know, they have Tim Hardaway, they have Finney Smith, but those guys are standing in the corners. Those guys are standing on the perimeter. And Maxey, I would love to see him take that on a little bit more, but he's got to be out there a little more. He loves the three, too. But you don't have anybody that I can see that when Luka's standing on the three-point on the perimeter, oh, man, that guy's cutting. Let's go ahead and get this easy basket.
So I hear you, but I'm not a huge Dwight Powell fan. I'm not against Dwight Powell. I think Dwight Powell is an NBA player that should play 15 to 20 minutes a night. But I don't think Dwight Powell helps us at all in clutch time. In fact, I've seen Dwight Powell earlier this year go to the free throw line, and, I mean, it's rockets off the rim when he was at the free throw line trying to close out games too. So we do miss Dwight Powell. I don't want to say we don't miss him. We do miss him.
Yeah. Is but the I don't think Dwight Cutter is missing from this team.
Right,
though.
But Dwight Powell isn't the answer to our problems.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.